It's been a wonderful week with the marriage ceremony of Drew and Erica. A wonderful time with them, with our family. I pray that you have had a wonderful Christmas season, holiday season with your family. I have had some thoughts about kings. I want to draw your attention to the sixth chapter of 2 Samuel. This comes as a part of a longer story, but to give you some background, the children of Israel were bringing the ark back to Jerusalem, and they were they set the ark on a new cart. David knew better, but he didn't do better. You see, the ark was not supposed to be set upon a cart. The ark was supposed to be borne on the shoulders of the priests. And had they carried it with the staves, as was directed by God, commanded by God, it would have turned out better for them. So they set it upon a cart. And you know that the oxen bore it instead of the men. God didn't call animals to bear the Ark of the Testimony. He called men to do it. And the as carts do, got a little wobbly. And the Ark of the Covenant got shaky, and this man named Uzzah reached up to steady it with his hand, and God struck him dead because he touched the Ark of God. Now God's serious about it, and this bothered David. And David left it at the threshing floor of Obed-Edom. That was his name. And it continued there 3 months, and the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. This is in verse 12. And they told David that he had blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertaineth unto him because of the ark of God. So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom in the city of David with gladness. And it was so that when they that bear the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatlings. Didn't take them long to get on that journey to bring it back before David stopped to sacrifice to the Lord. And David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was girded with a linen ephod. Now, he was not girded with his kingly garments. He took those off. And he danced before the Lord with a linen ephod. It was just a commoner's dress. And David and all the house of Israel, or at least with a priestly dress. Some of the priests wore the linen ephods. But it certainly wasn't his kingly apparel. So David and all the house of Israel brought the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of a trumpet. And as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, that's his wife, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. And they brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in his place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And as soon as David had made an end of offering, burnt offerings and peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts. And he dealt among all the people, even among the whole multitude of Israel, as well to the women as men, to every one a cake of bread, and a good piece of flesh, and a flagon of wine. So all the people departed, every one to his house. Then David returned to bless his household, and Michal, you know, the one that despised him, his wife, and Michal, the daughter of Saul, that's King Saul, came out to meet David and said, this is what she told him, "How glorious was the king of Israel today, who uncovered himself today in the eyes of the handmaids of his servants, as one of the vain fellows shamelessly uncovereth himself." You see, Michal saw him dancing before the Lord in his linen ephod, in his in garments that were not becoming of a king. And she despised him for it. She said, "That's beneath you, David, to be dancing before the Lord in a linen ephod like all the common folk. You didn't look regal, and you brought shame upon me as your wife and upon your house because you didn't look regal or kingly. You took your, and you acted a fool, David, in dancing." And David said unto Michal, "It was before the Lord which chose me before thy father and before all his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore will I play before the Lord. And I will yet be more vile than thus, and will be base in mine own sight, and of the maidservants which thou hast spoken of them shall I be had in honor." Therefore Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no child unto the day of her death. David, she despised David for getting real. David despised her for wanting him to put on a show for the people instead of being rejoicing before the Lord. She wanted him to act the part of a king, so that the people would reverence him instead of abasing himself and praising God for it. Now, I want you to see this. How many times are we like Michal? How many times are we so concerned about our kingly garments instead of us really dancing and being real in praising to God? David was the king, and yet he abased himself to take off those kingly garments and to lay them aside and to dance before the Lord into what seemed to Michael to be a shameful and vile manner. David said, no, it was before the Lord. You see, because men, it's a recurring theme throughout Scripture that men look on the outward appearance, but God sees what? He sees the heart. He sees the motivation with which you do something. And David danced before the Lord with all his might, it says. And I tell you, he did that as a rejoicing and a praising to God in the face of all the people. He took off that kingly robe and donned on him the linen ephod, which was a priestly garment. I want us to think about another king. I want us to think about Melchizedek. An obscure king that only one or two verses is only mentioned a couple times in Genesis, and then again David mentions him a couple times. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek in the Psalms. This priest was a king. He was priest and king. And he's so prominent of a figure that he was made like unto the Son of God, Paul says in Hebrews. He was made like unto the Son of God, and yet at the same time the Son of God is like him. After that order, without length of days or descent, meaning you couldn't follow his lineage back to Levi, because he was before Levi was. He didn't have a pedigree like you think as a Jew thought they ought to trace their lineage and right to be a priest all the way back to Levi or the son of Aaron. Now, that king received tithes of Abraham. He said, Paul says, consider how great this man was. It says he was king of righteousness, king of peace, or king of Salem, which is the king of peace. So that king of Salem, that king of peace, that king of righteousness was there, and he received tithes of Abraham, who is the Jews' go-to man, isn't it? They always go back to Abraham, and Paul tells them that Abraham gave tithes to this man. He paid obeisance to this man. As great as you think he was, he bowed before the king of Salem, the king of righteousness, the king of peace. His name is Melchizedek. King of righteousness. I want to tell you about another king. You know, David said there at his... some of the last words that David ever said. He said, a man that ruleth must ruleth well in righteousness in the sight of God. He said, although my house be not so with God, yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. David had gotten word from God when, you know, this at the end of the end of 7 and 8 and on in of the 2 Samuel, David, Nathan comes in and David tells Nathan, Nathan, I'm going to want you to talk to God. And God's, poor old God, don't have a place to dwell. And he has just been in tents and stuff like that. And I'm going to build him a house. And God tells Nathan that night, you go tell David, not only is he not going to build me a house, but I'm going to build him a house. Friends, I tell you what, that's a great house. And he went on to talk to him about kings and the kingdom that would always, that would come from his loins. And he wasn't just talking about Solomon. He was talking about, because Solomon wasn't a great king at the end, was he? The nation of Israel was split between the northern and the southern kingdoms. Israel was the north, Judah was the south. 10-2. Wasn't right, was it? Oh, but God had higher plans for his kingdom than just Israel. He's talking about his son, the king. I want to read this in Psalms. Chapter 24, verse 7. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lift up. And be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah. Selah means pause and reflect on what was just said. Give attendance to it. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. God ordered it and established it as a king. David as the king. But he also told David, there's a king coming from your loins. He told Daniel about the king. He said, in the days of these kings, O Nebuchadnezzar, shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. I looked up king in the scriptures, and I can't even tell you how many thousand of times that it talks about a king, various kings in here, in this book. There have been many babies that have become kings. A king. But there's only one king that became a baby. Do you get it? There's only one king that became a baby. David's talking about, who is this King of Glory? He's talking about the Lord of Hosts. It is His name. And I think that this everlasting doors has respect to some parts of the temple where they had two leaved gates and there was like four doors and they were forbidden to open all of them at once. You could open one but not the others. Or you could open these but not these. Not all of them were to be opened at one time. But I'm telling you, friends, there's going to come a day when all the leaved gates are going to be opened wide all at once. Ye everlasting doors, fly wide. Jesus is coming. The King is coming. And oh, you know, those wise men from the east came, and they, when they met Herod, they asked him a question, said, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews?" They sought this King, this King of Glory, this Lord of Hosts. They looked for Him and they diligently sought for Him. They looked for the sign of His coming. And after they saw that star, then they began their journey. All of the manger scenes that you see at this time of year are wrong, that have the wise men overlooking the manger. They were not there. No, it was a quiet, not a lot of fanfare in that event. It was David, Joseph and Mary, and Jesus. I imagine since they were in a stall, the animals were there, and the shepherds came. The most unlikely of characters to be present at the birth of a king. The shepherds. The ones that had the basest of occupations. Did the angels reveal His birth to? Did you know that not many noble, not many mighty are called? Did you know when Jesus came, He came to the poor and the lame and the blind and the halt. I'll take a church full of them. The mighty ones? Don't know. If the princes of the world who had known and the kings of the world had known who this man was, they would not have crucified Him. They didn't know, did they? It wasn't revealed to them. You know, God opens the eyes of the people that He wants their eyes opened. King of Glory. Who is this King of Glory? Men still ask the question, who is the King of Glory? I want to go to 1 Timothy. Chapter 6. Paul is giving Timothy some more instruction. And he tells him in verse 11, 6 and 11, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession." Paul's charging Timothy before God and before Christ, and he makes a little side trip. And he says, "By the way, Timothy, this Christ Jesus, whom I'm charging you before, went before Pontius Pilate, and he witnessed a good confession," or he gave a good confession. What was that confession before Pontius Pilate? Pontius asked Jesus, "Art thou a king then?" And Jesus said, "Thou sayest that I'm a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I might bear witness to the truth." That's witnessing a good confession, isn't it? That's giving a good confession. "Thou sayest that I'm king." If you say that I'm king, then you need to understand some things about my kingship. I am the king of the Jews. I am this Lord of glory, this Lord of hosts, the King of glory. And I came to bear witness of the truth. And Pilate said, "What is truth?" Because he didn't know. And so many people today don't understand that the King of glory reigns today. They don't understand that he reigns today. Does their misunderstanding keep his reign from being effective? Does their misunderstanding knock him off of his throne? No. No. He's the king whether they realize it or not. The King of glory reigns. He has a kingdom, and it shall stand forever. Not only shall it stand forever, but it's going to break into pieces and consume all the other kingdoms of the world. Dismantle them. Break them in pieces. Consume them. He's the king over that kingdom. His lordship is forever. His power is unfailing. His mercy endures forever. His love is beyond compare. His authority is without question. It's without rival. It's without any guile. It's pure. It's undefiled. It's perfect. And this King of glory is the one that sits on his throne. This King of glory reigns. Oh, yeah, Pilate. He's the King of glory, all right. Men wanted to free the murderer and to murder the innocent. But it was decreed by God. Entered into willingly by the King of glory, that he would lay his kingdom, kingly glory and garments aside and be crucified at the hands of men for the purpose of obtaining eternal redemption for his people. Just like David danced before the Lord with that linen ephod, the Lord was stripped of his glory. And as a priest hung on that cross, and men, as Michael did to Saul, to David, said, "That's foolish. They consider it a foolish thing that Christ would die if he was king, that he would take off his garments and abase himself as a man. And yet he did it before the Lord, because that's the one who was the aggrieved party. He was the one that needed, that had to have justice satisfied, and that was the only way that it could be done. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts is his name. And I'll tell you that men, as they observed Christ on the cross, considered him just a meager, base man. They considered him just a poor man, just a carpenter. And as he hung on the cross, I can't imagine what the scene was like in heaven. When the angels standing ready, I can see them with their swords drawn, just waiting for the word from Jesus to come and to kill, to save him from that. But he never gave the word. Who is this King of glory? I that reign in righteousness. He's so great. Listen to this. Paul says, "Timothy, I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of Lords. He said, not in your time, but in His time. When He's ready. When God will cause that day of visitation to come. And He comes. He sits now as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And He is the only potentate. But the men can't see Him in that capacity. They see Him as the beggar. They see Him as the carpenter's son. They see Him as a poor man on a cross. They don't see Him as the only potentate. Oh, friends, I see Him as the only potentate. I see Him when they ask, who is this King of Glory? I see Him as that. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Oh, but I can't see Him really. I can just imagine what it's going to be like when He shows Himself and He appears as the only potentate. I can't imagine. Listen how He describes Him. Which in His times He shall show who is the blessed and only potentate. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man has seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. That's a good description of Him, isn't it? He dwells in the light. We talked about the power of light several years ago, didn't we? He only dwells in the light. That's amazing. And you know, when He comes and He shows Himself as the only potentate and blessed of God, when He shows Himself as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, guess what? You're going to dwell with Him in the light too. You may be a king and a priest now, but you'll be forever a son, daughter, a child of God. And you'll enter into your great inheritance that God has given us. Remember, many babies have become kings. But only one king became a baby for the purpose of saving you and all of His children to bring them home. May God bless you is my prayer. Help us to worship the King, Father, every day. Tell somebody about the King that became a baby. May God bless you, is my prayer.